Yes, please turn your Bibles to Proverbs 19a. Last week Frank taught, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. It's kind of strange because people do love themselves. And, people say, I hate myself, I need better self-esteem. Well, the Bible says that if you get some wisdom, that's to love yourself. Well, how do I get that? By loving Jesus. if somebody is lacking in self-love, tell them to, love Jesus, and then you're loving your soul. You're doing something good for your eternal life. Instead of just trying to live in this world that's fallen apart, in bodies that are falling apart, minds that are corrupted. Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul, and he who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. And Frank concluded with that last week, and I'll just embellish that the last part of that, a servant to rule over princes, really is the definition of anarchy. Anarchy is foolishness in the eyes of God. Because what is anarchy? It's like, well, we can't get elected into office. We can't gain in power by convincing people we have any wisdom ourselves. So what we're going to do is we're going to just take over by anarchy, by terrorism. And that's what this is saying, is for a servant to rule over princes. And so we should never be part of anarchy. And, we see it welling up in our country, the Antifa protesters and all these others, that some of them funded by people trying to create division and civil war in our country. We just need to realize it's the devil's way of doing things. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. What it's saying is we don't have to get angry over every transgression. Every transgression we see on the news or just hear about in our world, we don't have to just get all angry and scream and yell at the TV or do anything like that, or transgression against us. Basically, we're far enough into Proverbs now that we can say that a general theme through here is that spiritual maturity is reflected in slow to wrath. Can we all say that? We should be slow to wrath. If we're spiritually mature, we should be able to take quite a lot of transgression going around before we lose control of our sensibilities, our trust in God. Because, Jesus, look at all the stuff that was going against him. And he had a mission, and he just stuck with the mission. We have a mission too, to not be wrathful. The king's verse 12, the king's wrath is like a roaring of a lion, but his favor is like the dew on the grass. And if you're in the woods and you hear a roaring lion, what are you getting ready to do? You're getting ready to die. And he's saying, if you make the king wrathful, you're going to die. If you stir up the king, you're going to die in the days of kings. But his favor is like dew on the grass. Now, how many of you have ever licked dew off the grass or leaves of ferns or whatever? How many of you have ever done that? Nobody. You know why? Because you have tap water. But before tap water, you know what the dew was? It was precious. I mean, you'd wake up and you'd wake up thirsty. How many of you, you go to bed and you, when I'm camping, I have a water bottle right there. A nice pure water bottle that's made clean. But you'd wake up, the dew was such an important thing for people. They would go and they'd lick all that water to get their, morning drink. That's what they would do. And so dew on the grass is refreshing life after thirst, and good to not be in trouble with the government is basically what it's saying. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. And that's a theme within Proverbs too. And it was interesting when I was first studying this, which was 2 weeks ago before Frank was, that there was an article that just came out that a guy went hiding in the woods for 10 years to get away from his wife. Now for the women here, I want you to know, I'm sure that some of it was his problem, okay? But he spent years in the woods. He finally just said, I'm camping in the woods. I cannot take this anymore. Just like, he must have been reading the Bible and just decided to do that. I don't know. Yeah. So, but others of us can be thankful that we don't have a contentious wife and we love coming home, right? Because that's the cool thing. Verse 14, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. And so houses and riches are, you know, a father leaves his sons, daughters, whatever, inheritances of what he's accumulated in life. But to have a prudent wife is a gift from God. A God-fearing man who waits and trusts in the Lord for the woman, to wait for a godly woman is going to receive that gift from God. And what is a prudent wife? And I'm sure it was the same then. It's the same, you know, you look at what people that are cursed with a non-prudent wife, what are some of the things that they really struggle with? I've known guys that, I have a friend of mine that he couldn't tell his wife to stop gambling. And she gambled tens of thousands of dollars. Just gone. Just, you work. Maybe one of you remembers either $60,000 or $80,000. Can you imagine? Can you imagine saying, I don't want you to gamble. You really are not that good at it. You picked the wrong slot machines. You don't know how you don't have enough math background to do 21 properly or whatever. Whatever they're gambling, I don't know what her deal was. $60,000, $80,000. That would be, thank you Jesus for wanting to, I want you to thank you Jesus for wanting to. Prudent with money. To be prudent and chaste. To not be flirting around. How many women have to suffer with a spouse that they're always flirting around, always unfaithful? How horrible, it rips your heart out when it happens. And so a prudent wife won't do that. Chaste in attitude, a good helpmate, a counselor, somebody that gives wise counsel, a gift from God. Compared to the misery that men and women experience with a foolish wife or husband. Verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:10. I alluded to this the other day, but it's a theme throughout Proverbs. And I thought we'd go here and then to 1 Timothy 5:3. But 2 Thessalonians 3:10, you know, Paul had spent just a short time with the Thessalonian church before he was run out of town by the religious leaders that were there. And in that short time, he had given them a detailed teaching of the second coming of Jesus. So it must be important if Paul, an apostle, was giving detailed instructions of the second coming of Jesus where the people had an anticipation of it coming true in their lifetime, then maybe we should also have that anticipation because it helps us to live in purity and holiness before God. And it's not unbiblical to have that anticipation. But one thing that was unbiblical for them to do is for the guys to get lazy. Oh, Jesus is coming back. Go sit on a hill, wait for him to come back. Which, we can have that attitude, but it's sinful. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. So, I mean, this is Paul the Apostle, New Testament, saying, if you can work and you're not working, then you should eat. Now let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 3, just a few pages further along. And I want to emphasize this because I see a problem in the church today that all the energies of the church now are going to provide for the people that won't work. And not just people that the Bible would say we should minister to those who are poor. It's a few verses later, it's going to be the poor. Not poor because they won't work, but poor because things have happened to them. Again, they break a leg. A farmer would break a leg, didn't have any sons to plow the field. things could go bad really quick when you didn't have L&I insurance and other forms of things to help take care of us as we have in our safety net of our culture. But just to see the example, the Bible says take care of the widows and orphans, right? Big deal. This is pure religion, take care of the widows and orphans. But Paul puts a qualifier on here that's pretty shocking. And then I'll get back to our own culture, and I get emails now that whole church in the area is all gathering about taking care of the homeless and everything else, and we should care about it, but we shouldn't take care, the funds of God's church should not be used to take care of people that all they want to do is be homeless and do their drugs, do this, have heroin shoot-up sites like is over in Seattle, to have the taxpayers of Seattle pay the nurses, pay for the syringes, pay for people that just want to go get high because they're wanting to serve the devil. Let them go serve the devil. The Bible would say they shouldn't eat. You're not going to work. You're not going to eat. 1 Timothy 5:3. Honor widows who are really widows. And I would say take care of the poor who are really poor. Not by self-decision poor, but people that have become poor by no fault of their own because of whatever. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. He's going to go on to say, it better be the family that takes care of the widow first before the church. Because everybody's got a family. So that's a general thing. The family should take care of the God instituted the family for the family to take care of the family. And really, you look at our culture and how we created Social Security. And we created Social Security, so we're going to steal from everybody, taking the money. And we're going to do what really, biblically, the family's always done. The family takes care of the elderly in their midst. Now that we've gone down this road, what has it created? See, what is that deviation from God's plan created? Now, is it very important for a parent to make sure that their kids grow up to be productive members of society? It used to be really important. It used to be important that if you didn't raise your children to get an education, get a job, have some work ethic and some God-fearing stuff, if you didn't do that, you were all alone when you got old. And you were starving. So you had some investment in your children because you were looking into the future. Well, now do we have, who cares? I'll watch TV with my kids because the taxpayers of America are going to take care of me when I'm 65. And now that's the, we don't have to have any impetus towards what happens to our children. And see, God's word would have said, don't do Social Security. Keep the family. And just think about how much better things would be in our society had that been the case. So, but now, everybody, that's not to say, okay, I'm going to refuse Social Security, get back to the Bible, have fun, but society's not going to change. But I'm just saying, when a society or a family or you make decisions contrary to the Word of God, there's consequences. And as a country, the consequences are inevitable bankruptcy where we're all going to be hungry because it's all coming down. We're up to $21 trillion in debt. Bond markets, other things, suffering. Trump just even mentioning that he was going to get rid of the debt. He was going to cancel the debt of Puerto Rico. That, the bond market just collapsed. All the people that had, the people that had lent money in bonds to Puerto Rico, it's like they're going to be worth nothing, so I'll take 10 cents on the dollar. The bond market just went crazy. And the dominoes are ready to fall. So it says, verse 5, now she who is really a widow and left alone trusts in God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. And these things command that they may be blameless. So if she's really a widow, has no family, trusts in God, continues in supplications and prayer, then great. But if she's just living in pleasure and says, hey, I'm a widow. Bible says, take care of widows and orphans. So here I am. Feed me. Take care of me. Paul says no. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith. He's worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Imagine if the welfare system of America decided to run through a litany of tests about that, like that, to determine whether or not you got a handout from the taxpayers of America. And then people would say, oh, you're so unchristian. Well, actually, this is from the Word of God. It's from what Paul has said. But refuse the younger widow, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle wanderers about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. So in other words, you're taking a widow in that's older because they're done. They can't get a husband to take care of them. And so you're taking care of them because they've demonstrated that they're going to serve the church. The church is going to serve them. They're going to serve the church. But if you take a younger one in, they go, I'm going to devote the rest of my life. Just like Anna, that was devoted her life since widowhood, and when Jesus was brought to the Temple Mount, and I'm going to devote my life. And what Paul is saying, if they're young, they're going to change their mind. They're going to swear that they're going to devote their life to the church, and they're going to find out that they get the money, they get the handouts, and they're going to go off and do something else. And see, Paul's saying this because it was what was happening in the formerly Gentile church world that then decided to become Christians, and he was seeing that there was a change in their society. There was a weak society. It was a society full of sin. Verse 14, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. If any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened, that it may relieve those who are really widows. And I get emails, we're supposed to be in a meeting, and it was funny, they said, I hope to see you there tomorrow, and it didn't even have the time on there. So somehow I must have missed an earlier email trying to catch up on stuff, but we're going to take care of all the social problems of Kitsap County. The churches now are they're devoting hundreds, thousands of dollars to do that. Now, I'm going to say that with a qualifier. We've ministered hundreds, thousands of dollars to people in need. Every single one of them gets vetted. Every single one of them gets the gospel. If they don't want to listen to the gospel, they don't get anything. And we are, it can't be just throwing money into a pit. There has to be an end of the road. There has to be a plan. And we look at it, this is God's money that God has put on your hearts to give to this church. And we have compassion for those that are down and out, as people in the city know, but we don't just throw it out there and say, well, we did God's work because we just threw it out. And that's what Proverbs is saying, and that's what Timothy, and it's what Paul said to Timothy and to the Thessalonian church. So going back to 19:15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. That's the way God wants it to be. It's part of the curse that men are to work and to provide for their family. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. And not die physically, but die what? Into a conscious eternity. People that want to turn away from God, turn away from His commandments, they will be careless in their way and will die eternally in a place called hell. Verse 17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Again, so again, the Bible recognizes taking care of the poor, but then it defines what poor is. Yeah. Right.
That's not always right.
Really?
Right. Just a second, I'm not through.
Okay.
We tried it once, and he didn't give us any money, but he sure gave us wisdom.
Uh-huh.
So we know not to loan again.
Oh, okay. So the comment was that some, and this is, and usually the preachers, the TV preachers won't use this verse to say that he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord and he will pay back what he has given. What the TV preachers uses other verses to say, you know, give to me, and you know I'm not poor because I have this big, all this gold and glitz and everything else, but seed money, if you give to me, then you will get back. And we must be aware that nothing in the Bible is wanting us to say, oh, here's a secret recipe. If I just rub the Aladdin's lamp just right, then the genie's going to pop out and I get whatever I want. Isn't that crazy for people who are God-fearing to even think that somehow we manipulate God to get earthly wealth? We want to just be servants of His because He's God, because we want to do what He tells us to do. And some people have, and I've, it's usually in the jail when I go there, I say to people when they feel like they haven't gotten enough from God, do you feel like God has let you down? And say, He's given us Jesus. He's given us Jesus, everlasting life if we trust in Him. What more should we ask from God than that? So, verse 18, chasten your son while there is hope and do not let your heart do not set your heart on his destruction. You know what that's saying? It's saying fathers should realize that if they don't discipline the foolishness out of their children, then they have set their heart on destroying their child. So it's, you know, and again, it's the man's responsibility throughout Proverbs. We're not even done with all the discipline verses here, but it says foolishness is pent up in the heart of a child. A child comes into the world, and if you just leave him alone, he's going to live a foolish life. And it takes the father to say, I am going to discipline my child. I'm going to chasten my child to drive that foolishness out of their mind. Because otherwise, I have a heart set to just let them destroy themselves. And so it's a very strong verse that we should all take into account when we raise our children, or even as we're involved with our grandchildren's lives, to the extent that parents want our help. A man of great wrath will suffer punishment, for if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. And, you know, why bail out somebody that just every time they get offended, they go into a fit of rage and get into a fight and they end up in jail? You bail them out, what's going to happen? They're going to get in wrath again. They're going to get in jail again. And so you're not going to, they're going to do it again because wrath has that tendency. The only thing in some people's lives, people try and go to anger management school. The best anger management school is get on your knees and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. And realize that we deserve the wrath of God for our sins against Him, and yet He so loved us, He sent Jesus. And we see, when we get Jesus inside of us, the wrath goes away because we realize that God spared us of the wrath that we deserved. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. So what's listening to counsel again? Word of God. Listening to the counsel of the Word of God. Receive instruction. We should be constantly into the Word of God. That when you get really old and you've been through the Bible enough times, you're just starting to get wise. that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. What's a phrase that people use that goes along with this? Man proposes, God disposes. Many people have great plans. When man makes plans that are contrary to God's word, who's going to win? God's going to win. And that's what it's saying too. There are many people have plans. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But yeah. And I have to even tell myself, I mean, God's word tells me what about the future of this world? It tells me we're going to end up in global government, that we're going to have a 10-nation global empire, that there's going to be an Antichrist, and all these other things. And see, I'm kind of excited that Americans have finally awakened to the fact that there is a deep state globalist power in our country. It used to be that you were considered a conspiracy not to think so, but now it's been open discussion. at the presidential level of the country. And I'm, you know, part of me wants to be hopeful that there'll be a little hiccup in their plans. But see, because of the Word of God, I say, you know, I could plan. I could say, hey, we're going to turn it all around. Everything's going to be great. But you know what? God's counsel has already told me that someday the side of is nationalism biblical? Yes, it is biblical because God divided the language. Why? So he would have nations all over the world so that they wouldn't unify. Because what does he see when he sees people unify? What do they unify to do? They unify to do evil is what he sees. And so the whole world government plan by people deceived by Satan is they think they're going to bring a utopia to the world. But what the Bible says is that when man gets together, then the evil comes to the very top and all of a sudden evil spreads to the point where all life is going to be close to ending here on earth. And so man's proposing right now there is a war between the deep state globalists and the nationalists trying to turn them around. It's happening right now. It has big ramifications of what's going on. And we know someday, maybe there'll be a little hiccup, maybe there'll be a reprieve, but someday Satan's plan is going to take off. And I can't let it bother me because the counsel of God's word has told me what the future is, whenever that future, you know, actually materializes. Verse 22, what is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. So God's people should be known for being kind, yet truthful. The Bible says speak the truth in love. And what else should God's people be known for? Telling the truth, never lying. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Will not be visited with evil in the end, because we have eternal life. So he who has the fear of the Lord will abide in satisfaction and not be visited by evil. But are we visited by evil in this world? You know, whole church got shot up this last Sunday. God's people, they feared God, you know, to the extent the people in there were truly born again. They feared God. Were they victims of evil? In this life, they were victims of evil. But what happened this split second? Their heart stopped. They're in heaven with Jesus. And the evil is gone. The tears are wiped away. The only people suffering, you know, out of the whole thing are the people left behind. And so the promises of God have to be looked at like this promise of God needs to be looked at from an eternal perspective. Verse 24, a lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth. Too lazy to even, you know, it's like, Mom, you know, I'm game in here. Could you please bring me a hot dog? And then, my hands are busy. Can you stick it in my mouth? It must have been around in Proverbs day. 25. Strike a scoffer and the simple will become wary. Rebuke one who has understanding and he will discern knowledge. Somebody who is truly foolish. What Proverbs was saying, and this is true in Singapore today, a foolish man, you know what they do? They don't stick him in jail. You know what they do? They cane him. They tie him up. You know, put them out there, and they have, this is, the government says, cane that guy. And they beat him. And you know what? A smart scoffer goes, you know, I don't want to do that again. And they change their mind. And so strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. You'll kick them up a notch. They will learn, I don't want to be caned. But a person with understanding, just rebuke him. You know, what are you doing? You're sinning against God. Oh, yeah, you're right. You don't have to cane a person with understanding. You have to do that to a scoffer because they're too foolish. Verse 26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. I'm so thankful that our two sons never cussed at us, swore at us, threatened to fight us. My brother physically fought my dad. Physically tried to beat up my mom. And I just, growing up in that situation, it was just like, man, You know, and even then, even though I was a foolish, godless kid, I was like, whoa, man, brother, you're crazy. And that's what the Bible says. And to this day, he is, well, he started out that way, and he is still a violent, hateful, cussing person. And that's what the Bible said. He who mistreats his father, chases away his mother, his son, causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Cease listening to instruction. So cease listening to what? The Word of God. If you cease listening to the Word of God, you will stray from the words of knowledge. Yeah, how often do we emphasize? Do you need to remind yourself, coming to Wednesday, I know you're preaching the choir, Wednesday, Sunday, you come, do you feel like, man, the Word of God just touched my heart in a way that's going to help me to walk that narrow path with Jesus? Do you feel that way when you come? I feel that way every time I read the Word of God. But see, if you go away from it, then that's going to stop. Even for us Christians, because the Holy Spirit restores our memory of what to do by just the teaching of the Word of God. And that's what's so tragic in America today, because the Word of God is no longer being preached from the pulpit. So all across the country, people are losing the instruction. They cease listening to the instruction of God's Word, and as a result, they're departing from His knowledge. A disreputable witness, a false witness, scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Liars under oath corrupt justice. Isn't that tragic? Are we seeing that in our world today? There's just so many cases, that, you know, just like, and I haven't listened to the study, but I saw Frank's notes where he was talking about, it seems like the only people who get away with this are politicians. You know, the untouchables, politicians, they can lie under oath, the people of power can, you know, just cut. We have seen dozens of examples of people that have lied and, you know, under oath, that if we do the smallest little thing, us pawns on the chessboard, we're being rung up and going to jail. And people can do, at the elite level, they can do whatever. They can corrupt the whole country's justice system and still walk away. You're still walking. Maybe someday it'll change. Verse 29, judgments are prepared for scoffers and the beatings for the back of fools. In this life, when the nation acts on God's wisdom, and in the life to come, for sure. So if the nation acts on the wisdom of God and beats scoffers, what are you doing? We are not going to go down the path of rejecting the God of the Bible. You know, again, we don't have kings. We don't have people that can rule and change it rapidly to good. But, you know, it would change. If there was a true repentance back to God, things would be better in the country. And even the little bit that has come out of the Trump administration so far has turned, that there are certain attitudes that are changing. Do you think the whole blow up and the exposure of all the perverts in Hollywood would have happened under Hillary Clinton? Absolutely not. Nothing would have happened. It would have all been covered up. Media and everything else would have been covered up. And you know, here's another praise to Jesus. It makes me just that much more set free from Hollywood garbage too. Isn't that good? To be set free. Because you sit there and you realize all these actors and all the things and all the children they've affected and raped and the trafficking that's going on that was happening, that's starting to be exposed. There's some major stuff going on. Exposure. There's talks of some people being really, you know, arrested. Powerful people arrested. Hollywood is being rounded up. Because the Justice Department was all of a sudden told by Trump, deal with this. One of the first things he did when he became president is he got all the child trafficker people that were concerned about what was happening to our children and to the women on the streets and the abduction. He got them all into the Oval Office and he goes, what can I do? And we're seeing the beginning of the dealing with that issue in this country. And there's going to be judgment for the scoffers. that are happening. And it's cool to get, I feel a little bit of a, oh, praise God. But you know what? I'm reserving that total joy for when Jesus comes. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the scoffers and the God-haters, they're shivering in their timbers right now because, am I going to be next? Am I going to get exposed? But we are sitting there realizing, you know, we don't have to worry about it because we're fearing God. And because someday Jesus is going to come and he's going to take us home. And I'm glad those people are going to be shivering in their timbers because there are acts of evil that are affecting people all around our country are going to be restrained. And that's good. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to truly be bold for the truth. Help us, God, to, Lord Jesus, to be strong in our own walk with you, to be diligent, to be into your word so that we wouldn't wane in our affections to walk in holiness as you called us to be holy as you are holy, and that we would, for the people here that are parents, that you would give them great wisdom in raising their children in a very perilous world. And God, we thank you for some of the restraining of evil that's happening in our country. We pray for our leaders that you'd give them great wisdom, protect our leaders, God, from evil, and allow justice and truth to be able to come and be revived in our country, and to keep the lawlessness away, that we could raise our families in peace and joy, and that there would be a restored safety and a hate of evil and a rejoicing in that which is good. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. And I'm forever grateful to you. And I'm forever grateful for the cross, and I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost. You did not wait for me to draw near to you, but you clothed yourself with frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me. And I'm forever grateful to you. And I'm forever grateful for the cross. And I'm forever grateful to you. To seek and save the lost, and I'm forever grateful to you, and I'm forever grateful for the cross, and I'm forever grateful to you that you came to seek and save the lost.
Are we all grateful? We should be for all of eternity. He came to seek and save us lost souls.